This is Tolga Karayayda, and in this session we are going to talk about the arc length of a curve in either two or three-dimensional space and the line integral of a function over a curve C, again in two or three-dimensional space. Let's begin with arc length. If we are given a curve C, parameterized by r of t equals x of t, comma y of t, comma z of t, as t ranges from A to B, let's assume that this parameterization is a smooth parameterization. To calculate the arc length of that curve, first of all, we are going to divide the curve into small pieces of arc by choosing a partition of the interval AB as A is equal to T0, less than T1, less than up to Tn, which equals B. And with this partition, we obtain the point Pi equals r of Ti, corresponding to the values of T as T0, T1, up to Tn. So when we plot these points, Pi, from P0, P1, P2, up to Pn on the curve C, we see that these points subdivide the curve C into smaller arcs. The arcs between pi minus 1 and pi for each I from 1 to n. So we have n arcs on the curve. Of course, the total arc length of the curve is the sum of the arc lengths of these pieces of arcs. But if the two points pi minus 1 and pi are close to each other, the arc length of the piece of the curve between these two points can be approximated by the distance between the two points pi minus 1 and pi. So let's say delta si is the arc length of the ith arc between pi minus 1 and pi, and this delta si will be approximately equal to the distance between the two points pi minus 1 and pi, which is calculated as the square root of delta xi squared plus delta yi squared plus delta zi squared. And when we divide that multiply by delta ti, which is the change in t values from ti minus 1 to ti, we obtain that this delta xi is approximately the square root of delta xi over delta ti squared plus delta yi over delta ti squared plus delta zi over delta ti squared times delta ti at the end. L, which is the arc length of the curve C, is then approximated as the sum sigma I from 1 to n of the distances between pi minus 1 and pi, which is the summation of that square root term times delta ti. If we take the limit as n approaches infinity while the norm of the partition approaches 0, these n points will get closer and closer to each other on the curve C, and our approximation will get better and better for arc length. And in the limit of this approximate values, we obtain the arc length as a definite integral from A to B of the square root of dx over dt squared plus dy over dt squared plus dz over dt squared dt. So in short, we can say that the arc length formula is the integral from A to B of the length of r prime t dt. So if the parameterization was r of t given by x of t, y of t, z of t, then r prime t is x prime t, y prime t, z prime t. So the length of r prime t is the square root of x prime t squared plus y prime t squared plus z prime t squared. And this expression, the length of r prime t dt, we call it ds, the arc length element for this curve. And even a shorter formula for arc length can be given in this way as L equals the integral from t equals a to t equals b of the arc length element ds. So this formula is written for a curve in three dimensions, but of course if we have a smooth parameterization of a curve in two dimensions, a similar formula applies by just using the x and y components for the parameterization, ignoring the third component. So the arc length formula will again be the length of r prime t dt integrated from the initial value of the parameter to the terminal value of the parameter. Now let's look at a simple example where we apply this formula. In the next page, we are given a curve C parameterized by r of t equals t cosine t, comma t sine t, comma t, where t is in R. And we want to first show that this curve lies on the cone whose equation is z squared is x squared plus y squared. And also we want to calculate the arc length of the part of the curve C between the two points minus pi comma 0 comma pi and the second point 4 pi comma 0 comma 4 pi. Okay, the first aim is to show that the curve lies on the cone given by z squared is x squared plus y squared. If you take a point x, y, z on the curve C, using the parameterization, we can express x as t cosine t, y as t sine t, and z as t, where t can be any real number. And now, if you look at x squared plus y squared, when we substitute those expressions in terms of t, we obtain t squared cosine squared plus t squared sine squared t, which is t squared times, in parentheses, cosine squared plus sine squared, which then equals t squared. But here, since z is equal to t on the curve, see that t squared is also equal to z squared, which means that for any point x, y, z on the curve C, we have arrived at the equality x squared plus y squared equals z squared. This tells us that every point x, y, z on the curve C satisfies the equation of the cone. As a result, all of the curve C lies on that cone. Now, to calculate the arc length on the curve between the two given points, first observe that the first point minus p comma 0 comma p is given as r of p. The point is minus pi comma 0 comma pi. It is given as r of pi. For t equals pi, you obtain the first point. And the second point, 4 pi comma 0 comma 4 pi, is given as r of 4 pi. So this point corresponds to the parameter value t equals 4 pi. So we have the part of the curve between the parameter values t equals pi and t equals 4 pi. For the arc length, then, we are going to integrate the arc length element ds from t equals pi to t equals 4 pi. So L is the definite integral from pi to 4 pi of the length of r prime t dt. And we can calculate the length of r prime by first calculating r prime as the derivative of t cosine t, comma t sine t, comma t. And then by calculating its length using the square root formula, this definite integral at the end, after the simplifications, correspond to just the integral from pi to 4 pi of square root of 2 plus t squared dt. Okay, by just applying the arc length formula, we arrived at this integral at the end. And here you may need to remember some integration techniques. Now we have the square root of a constant plus t squared dt, as in this example. We can proceed by the inverse trigonometric substitution. T is square root of 2 times tangent theta. And then dt will be square root of 2 times secant squared theta dt. And by this inverse trigonometric substitution, you can continue the calculation. And the rest will be just the calculation of a definite integral. So I stopped the calculation here. What was important here was just to notice that for the whole curve C, we just want to calculate the arc length between two given points. So for the given parameterization, we have found the parameter values corresponding to each of these two points, and we have integrated arc length element ds between these two values of the parameter. It was from t equals pi to t equals 4 pi. And for the given parameterization r of t, you can easily calculate r prime t, and then you can easily calculate its length, and it will be a square root expression, and you just integrate this length of r prime t between those values of the parameter. Okay, now let's move on to the section 15.3 from the textbook, which is the line integrals of functions. Here, again, I'm going to give the discussion first on functions of three variables and a curve in three-dimensional space. So let's say that f of x, y, z is a continuous function defined on every point of a given curve C. We want to define the line integral of that function f of x, y, z, ds, over the curve C. In that notation, ds will denote the arc length element, and when you see such an expression, the integral over a curve C of f of x, y, z, ds, it will refer to the line integral of that function f of x, y, z over that curve. But besides the notation, what do we really mean by the integral of a function, the line integral of a function over a curve? To define this, first we take again n plus 1 points, p0, p1, p2, up to pn, which divide the curve C into n arcs. Those arcs are namely the arc from p0 to p1, then from p1 to p2, and up to the arc from pn minus 1 to pn. And let's say that delta si is the arc length of the ith arc between pi minus 1 and pi. And on each arc, we choose a point xi, yi, zi. So xi, yi, zi is a chosen point on the ith arc. Then the line integral of f of x, y, z, ds over that curve C is calculated as the limit as n approaches infinity and the maximum delta si approaches zero of the summation I from 1 to n f of x I y I z I times delta si. What does it really mean? So we have chosen a point from each arc. From the ith arc, the chosen point is x I y I z I. We evaluate the function f at the chosen point. So we have the value of the function f at the chosen point on the ith arc, and we multiply that value by the length of the ith arc, delta si, and we take the sum of those products, f of xi, yi, zi times delta si, as I goes from 1 to n. So we take the sum over all small arcs. There are n arcs, and we take this sum. And for all such sums, over all partitions of the curve C into n sub arcs, we take the limit as the number of sub arcs n goes to infinity, and the sub arcs get smaller and smaller, so that the maximum delta si approaches zero, and this limit will be what we call the line integral of the function f over that curve. But this definition is not quite practical to calculate. If you look at how we can calculate the line integral of f of x, y, z, ds on that curve C, we choose a smooth parametrization. And for that parametrization, r of t, delta si will be approximated by the length of r prime t d, delta t, I. And as we take the limit of that Riemann sum at the end will correspond to a definite integral from a to b, where a and b are the values between which the parameter changes. We have the line integral over c of f of x, y, z, ds is given as the definite integral from a to b of f of x of t, y of t, z of t times the length of r prime t dt. So here the ds arc length element is replaced by the length of r prime t dt when you choose a smooth parametrization r of t for the curve, and the limits of integration are from a to b, because here t changes from a to b in the parametrization, and the function f of x, y, z is replaced by f of x of t comma y of t comma z of t. So you express f of x, y, z in terms of t by substituting x, y, and z as the functions x of t, y of t, z of t from the given parametrization. And if we expand this length of r prime t, the line integral is given as the integral from a to b, the definite integral from a to b of f of x of t, comma y of t, comma z of t times the square root of x prime t squared plus y prime t squared plus z prime t squared dt at that. And in the next page, we can also write down a similar formula for the line integral of a function f of xy, which is a continuous function defined on every point of the curve C. And the line integral can be expressed after choosing a parametrization, a smooth parametrization of the curve C. R of t is x of t, y of t, where t changes from a to b. The line integral over C of f of xy ds is now expressed as the integral from a to b of f of x of t comma y of t times the length of r prime t dt, which equals the integral from a to b of f of x of t comma y of t times the square root of x prime t squared plus y prime t squared dt. Again, ds, as you see, is replaced by the length of r prime t dt. This can easily be calculated by using the parametrization. It's the square root term times dt at the end. And the function f of xy is replaced by f of x of t comma y of t. So you replace the function by its value in terms of t when you substitute x of t and y of t for x and y. Here, instead of taking a smooth parametrization for a curve C, if the curve is not itself smooth but it's a piecewise smooth curve, then the curve C is the union of finitely many smooth curves. Let's say C is C1 union C2 union up to Cn, such that each Ci is a smooth curve, then the line integral over C of f of xyz ds will be the sum of the line integrals of the same function f of xyz over each curve C1, C2 up to Cn. So we write this line integral over C as the sum of the line integral over C1 plus line integral over C2 plus up to line integral over Cn of the function f of xyz ds. So these are all line integrals now. And a special notation when we are integrating over a closed curve is you put a circle on the integral sign, and when you see that notation, the integral with a circle on the integral sign over a curve C f of xyz ds, you just understand that the curve C is a closed curve. And the result of the line integral here does not depend on the parametrization we choose for the curve, but we should be careful about choosing a smooth parametrization if the curve C is a smooth curve. And if the curve C is closed, the parametrization we choose should only traverse the curve once, so it should not go around the curve several times. So when we choose a smooth parametrization, we are making sure that the moving point on the curve, according to this parametrization, does not go back and forth on the curve. That's why when you choose a partition of the interval of the parameter, the points you choose on the curve will start at the initial point, and it will follow an order compatible with the direction defined by that parametrization. In short, you need to use these formulas by choosing a smooth parametrization such that the parametrization traverses the curve only once if the curve is a smooth curve. Now, after giving the formulas, let's look at some examples. In the next page, we have several examples. In the first one, we take a curve C in three dimensions, parametrized by xyz equals r of t equals t cubed comma e to power t comma sine t, and the parameter t changes from 0 to 2 here. And we want to calculate the line integral of the function x squared plus yz ds on that curve c. Now, when we convert this to a definite integral using the given parametrization, it's the integral from 0 to 2 of, instead of x squared, we write here t cubed squared, which is t to power 6, and y times z will be e to power t times sine t. So we express the function x squared plus yz as t to power 6 plus e to power t times sine t. We write this in parentheses because at the end we want to multiply it by the length of r prime t dt, which corresponds to ds. And when we calculate r prime t here, it is the r prime t here will be 3t squared, comma e to power t, comma cosine t, and its length is the square root of 3t squared squared plus e to power t squared plus cosine squared t. At the end, using our formula for the line integral of a function, we obtain the definite integral from 0 to 2 of t to power 6 plus e to power t sine t in parenthesis times the square root of 9 t to power 4 plus e to power 2t plus cosine squared t dt. Of course, because of that square root expression, and the expression inside the square root is quite complicated, to calculate this definite integral could be very hard, but there are ways of approximating the result of a definite integral using Riemann sums. That's why it's important to express a given quantity as a definite integral of a continuous function, and then there are ways to approximate the result of that definite integral, even if the computation of the integral is not easy to compute using an antiderivative. Okay, in the first example, we are given a second curve C2, parameterized by xy equals arctangent t, comma ln t, as t ranges from 2 to 5. And we want to integrate over C2 the function y over x ds. First of all, we calculate r prime t as 1 over 1 plus t squared, comma 1 over t, and the length of r prime t is the square root of this 1 over 1 plus t squared squared plus 1 over t squared. And ds will be the length of r prime t dt, and the line integral of y over x ds then corresponds to the integral from 2 to 5 of, so now we express y over x as ln t over arctangent t, and ds, as you see here, is replaced by that square root term dt, and inside the square root we have this 1 over 1 plus t squared squared plus 1 over t squared. Okay, the idea is to express the function f of xyz or f of xy in terms of t using the given parameterization. So x, y, and z are expressed in terms of t. You just substitute them to express the function in terms of t. And the ds part in the line integral is replaced by the length of r prime t dt. This can also be easily computed using the given parameterization. In the last example in that page, we are now given a piecewise smooth curve C as the union of two curves, C1 union C2. C1 is just the left semicircle of radius 1 and center origin, and C2 is the line segment from the point 1 on the y-axis to the point 1 on the x-axis. And we want to calculate the line integral over C of the function xy. Now, first of all, we need to parameterize the two curves, C1 and C2, separately. And we know how to parameterize a circle. The full circle is parameterized by cosine t, comma sine t, where t ranges from 0 to 2 pi. But here we just want to parameterize the left half of the circle. So we should restrict t values from pi over 2 to 3 pi over 2. And for the line segment, from the point 1 on y-axis to the point 1 on x-axis, it can be seen as the graph of the function y equals 1 minus x. So the parametrization can be easily written as t, 1 minus t as t goes from 0 to 1. After parametrizing these two curves, the ds, which is the length of r prime t dt, will be expressed differently on these two curves. For the first curve c1, the length of r prime t dt is the square root of sine squared t plus cosine squared t dt, which is the square root of 1 dt, which means just 1 dt. So ds, the arc length element on c1, is just 1 dt. And for the second curve c2, ds, which is length of r prime t dt, here since the parametrization we use for c2 is different from the parametrization of the curve c1, the ds, which is length of r prime t dt, will be different on these two curves. On c2, r prime t is 1 comma minus 1, and its length is just square root of 2. So the length of r prime t dt, which is ds, on the curve c2 is simply square root of 2 dt. Then, the line integral over c of xy ds is the sum of the line integral over c1 of xy ds plus the line integral over c2 of xy ds. For the first line integral, x times y is cosine t times sine t, and ds is 1 times dt. So its integral is, the line integral on c1 is just the definite integral from pi over 2 to 3 pi over 2 of cosine t sine t times 1 dt. And the line integral on c2 of xy is expressed as the definite integral from 0 to 1 of t times 1 minus t times root 2 dt. Here x is t, y is 1 minus t, and ds is root 2 times dt. As a result, x times y ds is expressed as t times 1 minus t times root 2 dt. Now, the rest is just the calculation of two definite integrals, and I leave this as an exercise to you to calculate. The aim of this example was to show you how to convert a line integral of a function to the line integral to a definite integral using the given parametrizations. Up to now, we have seen the definition of the line integral of a function on a curve C, and we have seen how to calculate that line integral using a parametrization, using a smooth parametrization of the given curve. Now, let's look at the interpretation and some applications of the line integrals of functions over curves. The first interpretation or application could be the total mass of a wire in the shape of a curve C, where the wire is made of some non-homogeneous material so that the density of the wire changes from point to point on the curve. Now, since we are talking about the density of an object in the shape of a curve, a wire, we can talk about the linear density, whose units will be grams per unit length. So let's say that the linear density function of that wire is equal to f of xyz at a point xyz on the curve. So f of xyz is the linear density function in the grams per unit length units on that curve. To find the total mass, first of all, we can subdivide the curve into n small arcs such that the length of ith arc is delta si. If we subdivide the curve into tiny pieces of arc, then the mass of each small arc could be approximated by the length of the arc times the density at the chosen point on the arc. So the total mass m can be approximated as the sum sigma I from 1 to n of f of x I y I z I times delta s I. And as we take the limit as n goes to infinity and the arcs get smaller and smaller, in the limit this approximation will correspond to a definite a line integral. So it will be the total mass of the wire will be the line integral over c of f of xyz ds. And as a further application of that linear density function, we can similarly find the position of the center of mass for a wire in the shape of a curve C, where the linear density function is f of x, y, z. If the center of mass has coordinates x0, y0, z0, then we can calculate each of those coordinates separately as follows. The x coordinate, x0, is the line integral over c of x times f of x, y, z, ds over the total mass m. Y0 is the line integral over c of y times f of x, y, z, ds divided by the total mass. And the z coordinate, z0, is the line integral over c of z times f of x, y, z, ds divided by m, the total mass. Here, the total mass m, as above, is calculated as the line integral over c of the linear density function f of x, y, z, ds. And, for example, if you look at the formula for x0, the numerator, the line integral over c of x times f of x, y, z, ds, is nothing but the moment with respect to the y, z plane of the wire. And these formulas are written for wire which is made of some non-homogeneous material. Actually, if the material the wire is made of is homogeneous, then the function will be, of course, a constant function. And also the formulas above are written for curves in three dimensions. If we are looking at a curve in two dimensions, and if we have f of xy is the linear density function, the similar formulas will be valid for calculating the total mass or the center of mass of such a wire. If you look at a third application in the next page, we talk about the surface area of a wall. Now consider a vertical wall which projects to a plane curve C on a horizontal plane. To calculate the surface area, we can find the surface area of that wall as the line integral over that curve C of the height function h of xy ds. Here, h of xy will be the height of the wall over a point xy on that projection curve C. So if you look at the picture, we see a vertical wall whose base here is shown as a curve C on a horizontal plane. And for a point xy chosen on that curve, h of xy is just the height of the wall over that point. So the height of the wall may change from a point from point to point on the curve here. So the height of that wall is not a constant here. It can be expressed as a function of xy, where xy is chosen from the curve C. And what we say here is the surface area is just the line integral of the height function over that curve C. Why do we have the line integral giving us the surface area? Now, if you consider a small piece of arc on the curve with length delta SI, over that small arc, the surface area of the wall can be approximated as the arc length of the small arc times the height of the wall at a chosen point xi, yi from the arc. So the surface area will be approximately given by the summation of h of xi, yi times delta si. And as we take the limit of that approximate value as n goes to infinity and the delta si's approach zero, it will give us a line integral formula, which is the line integral of the height function h of xy ds on that projection curve C. To see an example where we apply this formula, on the next page we have the example of a wall constructed over a hill such that the base curve of that wall C is parameterized as xyz equals t, t squared, t cubed, where t ranges from 1 to 2, and we are also given the information that the top of the wall is a horizontal curve which lies on the plane z equals 10. And we want to calculate the surface area of this wall. By surface area of the wall, we just mean the area of only one side of the wall. You may say the wall has two sides, but the formula we have given just gives the surface area of one side of that wall. For the solution, I have sketched the picture of this wall. First of all, the base curve C is parameterized as t, t squared, t cubed. So we can see that the projection of C to xy plane, which we call C2 here, is parameterized as r of t equals xy equals t, t squared as t goes from 1 to 2. So the projection curve C2 is on the parabola y equals x squared, and it starts at the point 1, 1, it goes up to the point 2, 4. And the curve C projects down onto that C2, and the third coordinate, z coordinate on C, is t cubed, and it's also increasing as t goes from 1 to 2. So in the picture, we show the projected curve C2. Above that, we have the curve C, and the top of the wall lies on the plane z equals 10. And the wall lies between that curve C and the top curve on the z equals 10 plane. The shaded surface over there is our wall. Now, to apply the formula of the surface area is the line integral of the height function, we need to express the height of the wall over every point on the projected curve C2. On a point xy, which is t, t squared, on the point on the projected curve C2, the height of the wall above that point is given by 10 minus t cubed, which is the difference between the z coordinates of the points on the top and the bottom of the wall. On the top curve of the wall, z is 10. On the bottom curve of the wall, which is C, the z coordinate is t cubed. So the difference, 10 minus t cubed, gives us the height of the wall above the point t, t squared on C2. Now that's a vertical wall, it projects down to the curve C2 on the xy plane. And to find the surface area, we integrate this height function, h of xy ds, on the curve C2. As noted, h of xy on a point xy, which is t, t squared on C2, is just 10 minus t cubed. So when we convert the line integral of h of xy ds to a definite integral, it will be the definite integral from 1 to 2 of h of xy is now expressed as 10 minus t cubed, and ds will be the length of r prime t dt. But here, we calculate ds on the curve C2, not on the curve C. C itself is not a plane curve. The projection of the wall, the vertical wall, to the horizontal plane, xy plane, is the curve C2. That's why, to write down the surface area, we look at the integral over C2 of that height function. And ds on C2 is the length of r prime t dt, which is the length of the vector 1, 2t dt, which is just the square root of 1 plus 4t squared dt. At the end, the surface area is the line integral from 1 to 2 of 10 minus t cubed in parentheses times the square root of 1 plus 4t squared dt. And the rest of the solution is just calculating a definite integral, and you know how to calculate such integrals. Now, after that solution, we look at a more general case. In the previous formula for the surface area, in the previous page, the base curve was the projection to a horizontal plane. Now, if we have a vertical wall, which projects down to a curve C on the xy plane, where the wall lies between two other curves, which all lie on the cylinder with the base curve C, the height of the wall is just the difference between the z-coordinates on the top curve and on the bottom curve of the wall. And if we call this h of xy, depending on the point xy on the curve C, to find the surface area, we are just integrating this height function h of xy ds on the curve C. So the height function should be integrated on the projection of the vertical wall to a curve C on a horizontal plane. So note that in the solution above, we did not integrate the height function on the base curve of the wall, because the base curve of that wall was not a plane curve on a horizontal plane. We had projected the wall to a horizontal plane C2 on the xy, to a curve C2 on the horizontal plane xy plane, and we had written down the surface area is the integral over C2 of the height function.